All right, let's get started. For those tuning in, welcome to our live stream. I'm Chris from Phase One Trading, and also known as Cross the Grinder on Twitter. I got Eric here as well. You guys know him on Twitter as Masked Plays, or Mas sorry, Mass Trades. Say hi, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
All right, and we have a special guest today with us. You guys know him as The Lizard King. Thanks for joining us, man. We're like really excited to have you on here, so thanks for doing this.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man. All right, so basically what we're gonna do is just we're gonna touch up on a few things during this podcast style live stream. So I hope everyone watching you find some value out of it. But generally, really, we're just hanging out and talking stocks. So how about we start with how like today's market action? Because that was interesting. Oh
For
my God,
sure.
EV, you got everything's flying. And Lizard, you mentioned a few stocks last night. KNDI, TTMP, Naked. Go ahead, man. Just tell us what do you think of that?
The big play that I was in this week was KNDI. I got into that at like $8 this week. On Monday night we saw Neo and XPEV going crazy, so I was like, Kindy, that one's treated me well. Like before, there was that one day when it went absolutely crazy. Like, I got in at 7 and sold at 14, whatever day that was. This was a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago. So one thing I like to do is I keep track of the tickers that treat me well, and that is one that was great to me before. So I went and looked at the chart. I saw it was breaking out, and I saw that the EV sector was heating up. So I hopped in on Tuesday morning, and it's almost 50% at this point.
Crazy.
Probably more than 50%, I think now, but yeah.
Is crazy. It's insane. So where were you watching today, Eric? Were you watching anything exciting? I mean, there was a lot of stuff moving. I mean, we had Solo move today. We have NETE move today. So where were you watching? Where were you looking at? Were you looking at any of these or looking at something else?
Yeah, I mean, I started off just kind of, going through the scan, and the scan was pretty quiet this morning, so I wasn't really hesitant. I was kind of hesitant to take any trades. I wound up not even taking any trades this morning. I saw all those crazy runners like Naked and TTMP start moving, and all the EV was going nuts. And at that point, I felt like I was chasing. And I wasn't overnighting anything, so there was nothing to scale out of. So at that point, it's like, I think Chris, you said it the other day. If you feel like you're chasing, you probably are chasing. So that's how I felt going into the morning. And I can't even remember the ticker I tried playing. I took like a $20 gain on it, got out. Really didn't see anything until mid-afternoon, which kind of goes against my rules a little bit, trading intraday. But I saw Pola, POLA, moving about mid-morning. It was making a good move. So the first thing that comes to my mind when I see Pola moving is PPSI, because they're on the same algo. PPSI has like a 5 to 10 minute lag to Pola. It's almost like clockwork. So the second I saw Pola gain some momentum, I said, I'm taking PPSI. I picked it up at 345, price per share. And I wound up just scaling out in like the high 360s on just like this quick little scalp intraday. Made a few bucks on it. Wasn't too proud of it because I broke my rule trading intraday, but I was rewarded for breaking my rules. So I get a little bit more discipline tomorrow. But that was it. That's the only trade I made today. But this one
One
was
thing that you
fast.
said there is you notice that Pola and PPSI always run together,
360s.
and that's
After
something
like
like
this quick
a lot of new
little
traders
scalp
need to
intraday,
like take
made a
note
few
of
bucks
when,
on it.
because
Wasn't too
there are
proud of
like
it because I broke my
there
rule
will be plays
trading
that run together, and you need
I
to be
was
aware of that, and you
rewarded
need
for
to be
breaking.
ready, because when you see one of them take off, you need to be ready to get into that. And I commented on one of your tweets the other day, and I said PPSI and Pola have, this was like 3 days ago, I was like, those have always treated me well.
That's
And
it.
But yeah, I mean, you need to be ready for that.
They run off of sympathy off of each other.
Yeah,
obviously, those right? And then great. they also run off of sympathy just off of, believe it or not, EV and mm-hmm. just the power sector.
Yep.
And then what's usually the spark for them specifically is a hurricane. So, yep. you know, usually you could almost count on those getting hot when you hear of any kind of storm turning towards the United States. Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I do. I go National Hurricane Center. I go right on there. Look at, all right, Paula's moving. All right, let's see. Is exactly. there a hurricane nearby? Like that Cat 5 that passed by? I was like, all right.
If you need a seasonal trade, I mean, there it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's storm season every year. Mm-hmm. So make yourself a hurricane watch list. And every hurricane season, you have stocks to trade with Catalyst.
Yep. And even off of that, I think everybody, if you're like you said, make a hurricane watch list. I think everybody needs to have sector watch list. And if you're not doing that, you're missing out on a lot of big plays because you need to have a watch list for every single sector. Mm-hmm. And you can build this over time. But you're like as a new trader, you're going to be watching these and you're going to notice all these different sympathy plays in each sector. And I saw you posted, Eric, today, a food delivery watch list.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
That is so important to be able to quickly look at each sector and be able to pick like what's moving that day. That helps me a lot being able to look at different sectors.
The second I heard de Blasio shutting down schools,
yep.
I said, well, not only virtual learning is going to be good, but mm-hmm. beyond that, I mean, you close down schools, the conversation becomes, well, if schools are closed, why are gyms open? Or why are restaurants open? So it's just natural that more things are going to close behind them. So it didn't surprise me today when you heard of the restaurant closures. And the second you heard restaurant closures, you said, think back to March. What was the first thing that got hot on restaurant closures? It was food delivery. And, you know, I took a little position on, which one was it? I'll get back to you on that. I took a position on one of them today, though, in the middle of the, Rave. Rave.
Yeah, Rave. Yeah, I'm watching that into tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I could see that just making a move to a dollar for probably no reason tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's up in after hours. It's almost at a dollar.
Really? I haven't even looked.
Yeah, WTHR as well. I'm also watching that tomorrow. But
COVID's about to turn up, man. I think it's going to
For sure.
You know, the stock, I'm talking about the stocks, you know, I mean, the virus seems to be doing it.
The virus been turning up.
Yeah. And you got a few tickers, Eric. What's the ones you say INO, INO you're looking at, VXRT. So, like,
there's two things that I've noticed lately with COVID. And one of them is that anytime one of these large cap bios comes up with a vaccine announcement of a 90% efficacy, I know this week we had Pfizer and someone else, right? So what happens every time is all the, you know, the small cap vaccine plays, they get crushed on that news. And at least the first time what happened was plays like INO and VXRT, mm-hmm. you know, they bounced back the next day and then they got momentum. As they got back to their support and they got through it, mm-hmm. the momentum came in and it became a very good day trade momentum. So I'm kind of looking for that again, you know, soon, because you had Pfizer putting out that news and they took a little bit of a hit. But INO and VXRT are the ones to watch on that. And then something that I'm purely speculating on right now, it had a good run last week, tweeted about it a little bit earlier today, is that AHPI. That made a monster move last week and it's finding a good base. I was watching it kind of base out today around 5. It was below 5 for a while. I had some orders in. I canceled them. Again, I was very hesitant today to trade anything, but I would keep a strong eye on that AHPI right now. It's a very low float. It's a PPE stock, and there's nothing but mask mandate news out tonight in the mainstream media.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's COVID. It's here to stay. I mean, we don't know how long this thing is. It's gonna be around for, but you know, until we actually get like a vaccine and stuff going on, it's just talk at this point. So
yeah, personally for me, I've been like the COVID bios haven't really been doing it for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the outside COVID related things, like the online education, the food delivery. That's more what I'm looking at, like the lockdown place too.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big thing because we're seeing all these states. California literally like 2 hours ago just announced a curfew. Yeah. we're gonna see another lockdown, I think, personally. And that's where I'm gonna be looking. But the bios, just we have like vaccines, so I mean, yeah. Who knows?
I think it's just like run, play to Momo. I mean, you know, for sure. If you start running, that's when you want to make a trade. You know, just for now, it's like holding any of those things overnight. Anything could just happen. Like Eric said, you know, Pfizer could put another thing. It's like, hey, we got the vaccine now, and then all your basically your overnight trade is screwed, and you're now holding a bag. So you just got to be cautious. You know, you got to play those things cautiously. So,
Hey, Lizard, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How many do you overnight a lot of stuff? And if you do, what's typically, you know, how many you're holding overnight? One or more than one?
So when I feel like the market is a good swing trade market, I'll have around like 8 plays at a time. I don't like to get over 8 to like 12 is my max. Right. But the past, I'd say like almost 2 months, I haven't really been swinging that much, and I've just been playing, feeling out the days and seeing what's hot that day. Mm-hmm. And you need to, and so one thing I do is like lately, and you put out a tweet about this lately, how you only trade to like 11 a.m. And I felt the same way, because where I see myself winning is when I'm up early in the morning and I'm playing free market into like 11 a.m. and then I'm done for the day. I haven't been overnighting a lot. Sometimes when I see good momentum in after hours, I'll pick up some shares late in after hours, and I'll carry them, and I'll wake up early in the morning and sell it off that 4 a.m. spike. But so you really have to feel out the market and see how the market's moving, because it comes in waves. Yep. You'll see how the market's moving, and you need to adjust to that and shift your trading style throughout that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to EV. It's been crazy the last few days. Let's just say that much. So, Solo, NETE, KNDI. It's, oh my God, it's been nuts. So, I mean, what's your favorite? What's your favorite EV play, Eric? Let's start with you.
Fisker.
Yeah. Fisler.
Fisker.
You know, it's the only one that I'm holding, so I guess it's my favorite.
Yeah,
no, for sure.
Isn't Pick an EV play, or is that something else?
Correct me if I'm wrong. It is an EV play. That's one of the ones that have been flying under the radar, and I think people are now actually, you know, finding out, or if they're not, it's been one of those. So Goldman Sachs recently, they increased their position of that share over 900%. That's the recent article that came out. And then they was just basically just slightly over 170,000 shares, which is huge. And I know a lot of people on Twitter are talking about it. That chart looks really primed. and it looks like most of the other SPACs that you see, they have like that typical pattern of like hitting like a high and then retracing, finding a floor, and then a few months later, just blasting past a recent high. So
yeah, like, well, that's all the SPAC plays. Mm-hmm. Like we saw CIIC.
Yep.
That's one that I'm gonna be looking into today. I played that on open, and I sold it. I got like plus like it would. I forget what it opened at, like 14 or something, and then went to like 17. Mm-hmm. I was in and out of that quick, right on open. That's another trading style I've been doing, is like it dips on open, I buy, and then it rips, I sell within minutes. But the CIIC, that's another good EV play.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing now is that people are gaining faith back into the SPACs. For a while, we saw a big like fear going through all the SPAC market. Elon just put out like a little diss tweet to the SPAC industry.
I did see that. I saw that.
Thanks for having our back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's scared that a lot of these companies are coming out.
Mm-hmm. He sees it. I know he sees it.
Elon should just worry about going to Mars and stop worrying about his car company. He really doesn't even care about the car. That's probably just like a nuisance to him, Tesla. Like that guy's focused on Falcon 9, man.
Yeah.
You know, he's focused on bringing payloads to the space station. Mm-hmm. I think it's just fun for him to put out tweets like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for a few weeks, I thought he was hacked, and as he was like posting like some Bitcoin stuff, and I was like someone else posted in behalf of, or like in behalf of him, or I think they're like an imposter or something. But he was just saying some crazy stuff on there. I don't know if he deleted them, but they're still there. But I'm just like, all right, what's this guy smoking today?
Hey, speaking of Elon, could I just say something, Elon, in case you're listening? I haven't received my short shorts yet that I ordered.
I wanted that
I was
tequila.
told I was told that they're running late, and I'm going to be receiving them in the fall, and it's November 19th, and I just want to take them home and wear them.
Right, Elon, you're listening. You heard that. He needs this guy needs his short shorts, okay?
I got them at whatever price that was, $68, $70. I'm like, dude, by the time you get these, they're going to be worth
Yeah,
$500
just put them on eBay.
on eBay. Shit, man. I should have bought 25 pairs of them.
Insane. All right, let's move on to Momo plays. Things are basically got momentum. do you think what do you think, Eric? I know you mentioned a few of them on your Twitter. Like, what are you looking at specifically for Momo?
Momentum right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. What is the dap scan going to say in the morning? I'll let you know.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm cursing naked today, all day today. I probably took naked off of my watch list and put it back on about five times today. I just couldn't stand watching it. I saw the initial jump on Tuesday. I was actually in my car about to go surf fishing. I'm like, let me check the market here right at the bell. So I see this naked pop, right? And granted, I'm on mobile, so I'm not like really too crazy about trading. And it's like 9.5 going for 10 cents. I'm like, eh, I'm not buying that over 10, that piece of garbage. Fast forward 2 days, we're breaking 32 cents. I'm like, oh my God, I'm cursing that. So that's me watching Momo for the last 2 days, but
I was the opposite with naked. Like, I because we saw SNDL, these really low, like the cheap stocks. I was like, I have a feeling that naked is just gonna go berserk. So I've been in and out of that the past couple of days. Like, my first buy was at like 8 cents, so the 12. Then yesterday I put out a tweet. I was like, so it was that, I forget, it was at like 14 cents or something. And I was like, I'm watching naked into after hours. And the second after I tweeted it, it's like death candle. And then it went back to like 12, chilled there, and then it fucking boomed again. But what I'm noticing now is these like cheap, like under 20 cent stocks are going crazy. So at that
They
point,
are.
like, I'm just like hoping for the best. And you have to understand your risk when you're going to those really cheap stocks, and you have to have a plan when you get in, when to get out. Like, I'm not holding that those plays long. You have to have a plan when you're in and out of those. You really have to, because they're risky.
TTMP, yeah. I see someone mentioned that on the chat there, and Zoom, ZOM. I see someone mentioned also for SPAC, just backtracking just a little bit, SRAC. I know Eric and I, we've been on that just with that, just because they have that SpaceX and NASA connection, and they have that Lockheed Martin connection as well. So they already have like, billions on their, they have like over a billion. I think they have like, yeah, over a billion on their pipeline already. So if you want, I don't know, do you want to elaborate a little more on that one, Eric, or just like what's your
Yeah,
strategy with that
I'll
real
give you
quick?
a quick rundown, because
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's a fun one, so it's Stable Road Acquisition is the blank check under a SPAC. So it's, again, it's SARC, right? What is it? Yeah, SRAC, sorry, SRAC. They're going to be doing the merger with Momentus. I believe they've been around since like 2016. So, they're a company that's been around for a few years. And what separates them from a lot of SPACs is they're actually making money. They have, contracts that are done deals. They have contracts being negotiated in the pipeline. They're currently doing business with NASA, Lockheed Martin, SpaceX. They're actually working on a logistics project with SpaceX, where some of their equipment is going to be on a Falcon 9 rocket on, I believe, December 9th. So that might get the stock going a little bit. That's, I would say, the most near-term catalyst. It's starting to get found. It's very early. Full disclosure, I have a position in it at 10.10 a share. I think with these SPACs, how could you go wrong buying at 10 or below? With
yeah, for sure.
Pretty much any yeah. SPAC. And, you know, what's cool about this is you're very early. This is an IRA play, yeah. In my opinion, which is where mm-hmm. it's at in my life. And, you know, the more that Virgin Galactic achieves milestones and the more good big things that Elon's doing with SpaceX, the more traction the whole sector is getting. You know, you have Blue Origin with Amazon as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's very early in the game with this, and it's just a fun one to be a part of and look at it in the IRA.
Yeah.
It's making me some money, but it's a long play. I'm gonna play it like I do everything in my IRA. You hold the core and you trade around a core.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. That's I think something that a lot of people need to understand. Like, I think not enough attention goes to how to hold a core position and then trade around that core position.
Right. Yeah.
That's like something I do a range. Lot. Yeah.
You got to find the range of these stocks. Like Chris and I, we were swinging SPAC, SPAQ.
Yeah.
We were swinging that $1 to $2 a share like twice a week.
Yeah.
For like how long was that going? Like 2 months?
We were there for a while,
it was
too.
Great.
Yeah, it was like when
we had those days where it was tanking, we were like, good, let it tank. We're going to just buy it back.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we did, yeah.
But we were always holding it. We were always holding it because, you know, you never know when it's just going to catch fire. So mm-hmm. we always just held the core and traded a range, you know, and that's pretty much how you want to handle anything in your IRA.
Yeah.
Right? You know,
one of my favorite plays that I've been doing that in is this is one of my favorite small cap plays for the long term. It's MVIS. You guys know about Microvision?
Vaguely.
Just barely. If you can elaborate, that'd be great. Yeah.
Yeah. So they work with augmented reality, and they basically are, you know, there's speculation that they're going to get bought out by Microsoft. But this is one of my favorite small cap plays, and I'm holding this for the long term because I think augmented reality and virtual reality, like, to me, that is the future. But that's a position that I've had a core position in it, and I also trade. I have like a swing position inside of my core position where I sell the spikes and buy the dips. But if you're listening to this and you haven't checked out MVIS, I love this play for the long term. They do. So it's augmented reality where they mix the real life with virtual reality.
Yeah.
I think within the next 5 years, that's going to become a huge thing. Like, especially when Apple gets their, you know, glasses out, augmented reality is the next step from the smartphone to me.
Yeah.
Is it somewhat of a lockdown play in the short term? As far as like the first thing that's coming to my mind when you're describing this is like the real estate market. You know, it's almost a way to look at an open house.
That would be more virtual reality. This is like augmented reality. So they have it. They're using it at Lockheed Martin. So they're like building the chips for everything at Lockheed. And like, so you're looking, but there's like holograms that come up and tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You can look up the Microsoft HoloLens 2, and they have like a big video about it, but Microvision creates the chips that create the holograms. It's crazy shit.
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, let's move on. Let's move on to just chatting, just basically about like trading psychology and you know, things that you do and you don't. So I can start off by basically just saying, like morning runners. I know, Lizard, you talked about it just briefly a second, like not that long ago. I just get up early, 6:30 is what I look for. I look for stocks that have tons of volume pre-market. My latest runners, home runs have actually been ATHE, FTK, DNK, LXRX. The four things I look for is high volume, the gap of price, does the stock have news, and does the chart look set up to run more? Ideally, what I look for when I see these stocks is just a retrace from the gap of price about maybe like, I say like 10 to 20% or like say like 15 to 20% or so. Wait for it to find support on the first dip and then look for an entry on the second one if it retests its first support. I also like to scale in a couple times too. And I do this before 7 o'clock. And then because you get the most volume in the morning, you get that, you know, before, like after 11 o'clock is just like that's that the volume just starts dying off at like 10, like just like a little after 10. It's just, it's just done. So look to trade in the morning if you want to day trade and stuff. That's where you get the most volatility. So you get the most volume there. And Eric's quote, in out cash.
That's it,
So
man.
that's
Get
just it.
out to packing cash as fast as possible.
Yeah,
I don't like holding
exactly.
nothing. The only thing
Yeah,
I
no.
hold is in my IRA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, that I'm in the same mentality now, but I feel like we're getting closer to where I feel comfortable adding swings. Now that this election is kind of done, but like it's getting dragged on, so I still don't feel too comfortable holding many things. But I'm the same thing. Early morning, look for what's moving, look for what sectors are moving. You get in and you get out. And don't get hung up on plays. You have to have a clear mindset to make money. You don't you like take the emotion out of your trading and just let go. Like be like the emo kid in high school that just like stares at the wall. They wear Hot Topic and they just like never smile, never frown. You just have to get in and get out. You have a game plan.
I think, something that I heard somewhere recently, I can't remember where, but it was such a great point. It was that if your losses when you're wrong are greater than your gains when you're right, you have to rethink your strategy, and take your foot off the gas and be a little bit more patient and cancel out the noise and stop reading Twitter and focus on your plan. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Don't just blindly move with what other people are doing. Trade for yourself and use everything else as a tool, which is also what this stream is too. This isn't us telling anyone how to trade. This is, take this as a tool and apply it to what what your individual plan is. Right now, my individual plan is never set in stone. It evolves. It evolves with the market. You have to. I mean, right now, my plan is this: trade 7 to 11 a.m. ideally. No new positions in the midday, which I broke today and got rewarded for that, but that's a whole nother story. Don't babysit the market. Don't sit there and stare at it all day. That'll get to you after a while. I'm just cautiously speccing power hour. Anything that I've been holding all day, I'm selling into power hour, and I'm selling into strength after hours. Anything that I take after hours, a new position, I'm just scalping it. I'm just riding a piece of the move, not the entire move. I'm just riding a piece of it and getting out. And right now, it's 100% raw. I'm not holding nothing overnight. I don't care how hot it is, because a couple days ago, last week, I think it was energy that was really hot. It was like POLA, PPSI, WWR,
Seabat.
SPY, CBAT, all that. They were so strong. The continuation was amazing into after hours. And then you know what happened? I held a little bit of SPY overnight on that because they had Catalyst the next day. They had a conference the next day. I said, everything in the sector it's running with has held all of its gains after hours. You know what happened? Everything was down 15, 20% in the morning. So it's in this market right now, you can't take anything for granted.
Trying to shoot.
So, that's where I'm at. I'm very cautious
Yeah,
right now.
I'm in the same exact spot with you. Same feeling. Like, you got to take it day by day and like stop chasing like massive gains. Like, I am so happy with a 10% gain. And this is what I do. So I wake up early in the morning and I look at what's hot. And then towards open, I start getting a clear picture of how the market's going to act that day and what sectors are going to move. And that's when I'll go big into a day trade and I fucking Thor hammer it. And you have a plan. You put a stop loss at a safe spot for yourself.
Yeah,
And
I mean, whether it's
with the
mental or actual, right? Do you use
yeah,
mental
yeah,
or
yeah. It
actual
doesn't
or
have
both?
to be an actual stop loss. It can be a mental stop loss.
Right.
And you have to have a plan when you go in. And I go
You
in
have to
big
have
and I
that.
look for like, even like 5%, like, and then I sell. That you have to be ready. You have to go in, you have to get out, you have to take your gains. Like, stop hoping everything's like 100% runner, because that's not sustainable as a day trader. When I consider myself a day trader, I think you guys do as well. We're here to make money every day. I've been tweeting out every morning. It's a beautiful day to make some money. The
I
stock
love
market,
it.
you can make money every single day if you take the emotion out, if you go in with a plan. You have to be ready to have a plan, and whether that's 1%, whether that's 20%, like, you just have to go in with a plan, and you need to be ready to take your profits. And people get mad when you take profits. Like, nothing's like you. Not every play is going to be 100% running.
Yep. Exactly.
I know a few people in the chat: Jeffrey Garcia, Maino K, Chip Chop, Chip Chop.
Yeah, Chip and Chop. Mm-hmm. That's another one of my sayings. Chip and Chop, baby.
That's it.
Chip and Chop. That's like a couple 5% gains. Boom, boom, boom. Like 10% gain, that's great. You just need to keep going. You need to keep moving forward. On to the next one. On to the next one.
Yep. Yeah.
You need
stick
to keep
and move.
Going.
Stick and move like a boxer.
Yeah, yeah. That's especially it. Now in this market, like when there's like, we don't know what the world is like. The news is all a figment of like it's just all fake. We don't know what's going on, so you need to take it day by day.
Yeah.
Because this shit is crazy out here.
It
that's
is
something that I just wanted to add into this. You know, psychology segment we're doing, which I think is important, is that people have to realize that, you know, good trades aren't always necessarily a trade you made money on. You can make a good trade that you lost money on. Mm-hmm. You know, a good trade to me is one that I stuck to my plan on, whether it's taking a loss or taking a gain, you know, mm-hmm. and a bad trade is just anything that deviates from that. You know,
yeah, exactly.
I think people, they're so hung up on, oh, I made a good trade, so I made money. That's not the right way to look at it, you know. Like if I take a $20 loss on something opposed to a $280 loss on something, that $20 loss was a good trade because I managed my risk.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I'll give you an example. That energy play. What was that, Chris? ENG.
Yeah. Yep.
So we were playing ENG pre-market, and I took a pretty decent entry at whatever it was at. It's irrelevant, right? It was a decent entry. It dipped to another support level that was.
EGY, that's what it was. EGY.
EGY, okay.
That's it.
But I had a pretty good entry. I added on a dip that at the time was a good add, right? It dipped a little bit lower.
Oh, hold on. One second here. Looks like we got disconnected here. One sec. Let's see. Just having a little technical difficulties. Give us a sec.
Yo,
let's get back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm back.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, hold on. Let's get Eric. Let's get Eric back in here real quick.
Hello.
Hello. Let's see what the chat's doing, actually. Let's see what what they're saying.
I think before we end this, we should ask the chat questions and like answer everybody's questions before
before
we get off.
Yeah.
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I dumped out for a minute.
No worries.
In the chat, can everybody hear us? Are we good? Liz back. Kevin D. What's good, Kevin? Swiss said, "Treat your trades like a Tinder date."
Exactly.
I think a lot of you guys out there can relate with that. Probably a lot of you girls too.
Did you guys hear the end of that point? I just want to make that point.
No. Bring it back.
Just to finish that point, because I think it's important, is that I turned a bad entry into a good trade that I managed my risk. I lost money on the trade, but at the end of the day, I saw that as a good trade. Mm-hmm. I took a bad entry and then knew I took a bad entry very early, and then did what I had to do to get myself out of the trade clean, you know, and it was minimizing my risk. And I even said in our phase one chat, I said, I'm in damage control. Mm-hmm. A couple people had better entries than me in the chat, and, you know, they were making money. They had a different strategy than me.
Yep.
And I'm like, listen, I'm in damage control. You make your money, you know, but it's very important to recognize where you went wrong very early in the trade.
Yep.
And,
exactly.
I agree. You can go ahead.
If it looks like, if you have that gut feeling, like you just know when a trade is going south, like when you just have that gut feeling, just you rather go with your gut feeling than go with, you know, you know, what if, you know, it's not what if. Live in the moment now. Don't live in, you know, don't go and say, oh, what if in the future it does this? Like, I kind of trade on the moment. Like, if I see something good or if I see something that's turned bad, I'm going to move on to the next play. I'm not going to stick around. I'm not going to babysit this thing. You know, there's tons of other plays to play every single day. So don't get caught up on just one play.
Yeah. And off of that, there, Ryan Kidd just said in the chat, we all lose. No one ever talks about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all lose. The biggest, to me, in the stock market, the most important thing is playing defense. Mm-hmm. How are you going to manage your losses? How are you going to protect yourself from losses? Like, do you need, when I get into a play, I am ready to take a loss. Mm-hmm. I know where I'm getting out of that. I know how I'm going to exit that play if it doesn't fit into my plan.
Yep.
So like, don't just go. You can't expect to go into every play and make money.
Yeah,
work it into your plan. Understand your risk to reward. Mm-hmm. And if it's a high risk, high reward play, I'll go in smaller. If it's low risk, low reward, low risk, low reward, I'll go in bigger.
Yeah.
Exactly. But what's your don't just blindly buy. You have to go in with the plan. Like,
what's your absolute? I gotta just put it down for the day. You know, is it number of trades or is it like maximum loss? Like, what's the point? Yeah. What's the rule you have for yourself where you know the day just isn't yours and it's time to just wait for tomorrow morning?
So I actually almost put a tweet out today. It's in my drafts right now. I just said two bad trades a day. I step away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, when I find myself, like, if I find myself chasing, if I find myself, like, if I find the market's just not working with me that day, step back. Don't get over emotional and try to make those losses back. You need to step back and learn from where you went wrong. Mm-hmm. Look at your loss and say, okay, you know, this is what happened. I bought it too high. You know, like, the volume was already decreasing as I went in. You need to understand that. So
yeah,
two really bad trades, you know. If
lately,
Chris
and I,
yeah, don't revenge Chris, trade.
Yeah,
Chris and I lately have been trading like Maverick and Goose, and you know, we're very much just on the momentum in and out kind of deal right now. Mm-hmm. And you know, it goes to the psychology of, if you're wrong, take that quick loss, get that leverage back, get that capital back, get that leverage back. And most importantly, get that time back.
Yep.
That time is worth more than anything. Yep. Tomorrow's a new day. You take that small loss, you move on, you'll get a bigger win. You get bagged up. I've been there. The last one I had is NTAC, NTAC. Oh, I was bagging that BS stock for like 6-8 weeks, tying up like so much money, right? Yeah. Average down, which is such a bad thing to do. It was probably the one time in my trading career that average down actually worked for me. But the day that it was moving and everybody's like, oh, the upside. I'm like, upside? I'm getting out flat after eight weeks of this nonsense.
Yep.
And I swore to myself, I said, I'm never doing this again. I'm never averaging down again. I'd rather just take that quick loss, get that time back, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Move on.
Yep.
You know, averaging down, it's like, you know, losers average down, winners average up. Like, you got to say that. You got to say that to yourself every single day. Averaging
you
want to
know
not a good
you
want to
know one of the I think the biggest negative statement I see that so frequently that so many people say is when people say, I just sold, it's going to go up, or I just bought and it's going to go down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
when
I
people
see it all
say
the time.
That, like, stop fucking saying that. That is the worst mentality to have. Mm-hmm. Look, like, don't just think that. Go in, like, have a plan. Like, that literally makes me so mad when people say that. Yeah. Because it's not like there's no juju that's doing that to you. You're doing something wrong. Learn from your mistakes. Mm-hmm. That is the worst thing you could possibly say, because you're bringing yourself down in that statement. You're knocking your own greatness down by saying that. And like, everybody is great. Everybody has the potential to be great. Mm-hmm. But don't bring yourself down and like, don't say that. You're putting negative energy into the world when you're saying stuff like that. So stop that. Like, if you say something like that, like, I just bought in, it's going to go down, or I just sold, it's going to go up. Stop.
Yep.
I don't ever want to see that statement ever again. If you do, I'm calling you out.
That's
well
that's
said
well
there.
Said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I agree with that one.
You guys want to touch on you guys want to touch on Bitcoin a little bit?
For sure.
Why not? I mean,
I love me some Bitcoin.
We've seen Bitcoin and its movement. I mean, last time I checked, what Bitcoin was almost 18,000 again. And mm-hmm. what back in March it dropped like just under 5,000. Now it's up 200%. It's yeah. just nuts. And like, what are you guys trading? I know you guys are probably trading MARA, Riot. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else are you guys like, you know, looking into? Like, those are just trade yeah. those so, with Bitcoin. Go ahead.
So I started trading in crypto in 2016. That's where I learned how to trade. My whole background was in crypto. So I saw that whole industry blow up. I saw all the altcoins and the shitcoins go crazy. And that's what taught me how to trade. So now that I'm seeing this Bitcoin run happen now, it's so crazy because I think now we're really starting to see the world understand Bitcoin, and we're seeing these big corporations say we can't ignore this anymore. We need to either adapt or we're going to get beat by somebody who does adapt. And we say PayPal just launched crypto trading.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That is so huge. Because back in 2016 to 2018, when that big crypto explosion happened, the biggest thing was the big dogs didn't want to let this happen. All the corporations didn't want to allow crypto and blockchain to come into the real world. And now we're seeing that. So this is why I say we're going to see a big boom. And I think we're going to, like, the next 2 months, we might see a little dip to like 16 to 14K. But once we break 20K again, everybody and their mother is going to be buying Bitcoin, and it is going to be berserk. I just put out a tweet the other day, but do you guys remember back in January when when World War III was going to happen?
Yep.
I told all my friends, load up Bitcoin now. It was at like 8,500. I said, load up Bitcoin because this shit's getting crazy. And we didn't even know what COVID was. And since then, if you look at the chart from when it went crazy in 2016, 2017, when it hit 20,000, that was like a straight spike. The shit went parabolic. Now we're seeing a steady, steady growth. So when we break 20K and the news is covering it and everybody's talking about it, we're going to new highs.
You have institutions, it's going to be so crazy, that are participating now. That's the game changer. I mean, when I got that PayPal news, PayPal news, that was the turning point.
For making it
a legitimate, respected currency at that point. Yeah. And then now you're hearing more and more on like CNBC at night and stuff. They're talking about institutions that are more accepting mm-hmm. of it. It's real now. Like, it's a real thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's something that happened back in 2016 and 2017. You slowly start to see the big dogs start talking about crypto, Bitcoin, this and that. And it's just going to keep getting more and more because blockchain is the future. Like mm-hmm. the technology, if you don't know, like, go watch some YouTube videos about it because it is the future. Like, it's so crazy. It is so powerful in so many different use cases.
Yep, definitely.
I'm so big on the blockchain. Like, I'm not even that big. Like, I like Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just like the Michael Jordan of crypto. And so we all watch the superstar do its thing, but there is so much more to crypto and blockchain than Bitcoin. And that's what excites me. Yeah. Like, we could be doing so much on the blockchain. And it's just incredible. Like, when we see these big corporations start accepting that, it's going to be insane. And there's going to be so much money to be made there. It literally gives me a boner.
Oh yeah, I mean, we know it's not going to go anywhere soon.
Swiss said in the chat, Swiss Trades in the chat, he goes, "Don't forget the World Bank's met last year, and crypto was a top topic."
So yeah,
very good comment.
And that's why I'm so big on XRP, Ripple. I have a ginormous position in that from a long time ago that I've been I just keep adding to because they're in with the banks.
Do you swing Mara? It seems to be like one.
I play Mara. Yeah,
it's like one of the easiest swings in the market right now.
Yeah, Mara's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mara's another one of those stocks that has always treated me well.
Yeah.
Are you hashtag never riot or
I played Riot like the was it this week that Riot went crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This week it
yeah,
finally found some
this week,
traction.
yeah. I was
Well,
in Riot this week when it went
a lot of
crazy.
people don't like it. Why? I guess I'm missing what happened there. Why do a lot of people not like?
I like Mara better than Riot. I don't know why. I just do.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Monday was like $4. Riot was $4 on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I was playing for a little while before they had a threat of an RS that got moved to, I think, this week or something. I lost touch of the stock, but NXTD.
Yeah, I think so. The thing with that one, I think that was like a Bitcoin play, and then they like sold their. I could be wrong because I haven't really played that, but I think I read that they like sold their crypto operation to somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could be wrong. Don't take my word for that, but that's what I heard. That's what I thought I read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, Mara is my favorite Bitcoin stock play.
Yeah, I think that's been a favorite all over, even our group
sure.
and stuff. We've been trading in and out of
yeah,
that.
I was in that before August, like at $1.50 or $1 before it went to $5.
Yeah.
Because I knew, like, I could see it in the Bitcoin chart, and I every single time a new news article came out where these corporations are starting to give crypto the respect it deserves, it's like, man, there's no stopping this. Like, and since 2016, if you've been watching Bitcoin and crypto, you've known this is going to happen. It just
yep.
takes time.
Yep.
And especially now you see like China doing like digital currency and everything. Everything's going to be on the blockchain one day. It might take 10 years. It might take 5 years. It might take 20 years, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think COVID probably helped it too, right? In a way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And shitty elections and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's
I think
lot of,
once
lot of
once
factors.
We get a confirmation of you know who's president, I think you know a question that I have is going back to EV and energy, specifically EV and solar. Even we kind of missed out on solar. Mm-hmm. Solar's been hot too.
Yeah,
it's worth mentioning. But you know, does EV it's had a good run, right? So speaking of this presidency and the craziness surrounding it, I'm wondering. Does EV become a sell the news when you get an announcement of the new president, you know, which looks like it's going to be Biden, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you know, once it's confirmed and he's like inaugurated or whatever, right. I think the Electoral College votes on like December 9th, if I'm not mistaken, or December 14th. That's when it becomes like official.
Yeah.
Does EV become a sell the news? You know,
I mean, that's a really good question. I mean,
that's one thing that I've, that's a main reason why I haven't been holding too much, because I feel like the market is taking that Biden wins, but like it's still like such a weird situation where we really don't know what's going on, and like I like it could be priced in, it could be not, so like it's so weird.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess I'm asking that question for people that are listening or will be listening on the replay that are holding these stocks or planning on holding these longer. My risk tolerance is definitely different than that. I'm with you, Lizard, on that. It's like it doesn't matter to me because
I'm
so fast.
To me,
it is a question that's interesting, right? I mean, especially
for sure.
And, I mean, I guess I do care to some degree because I am holding Fisker long term, but
yeah.
And one thing is so when you say long term, like that, I think a lot of people don't understand that when I say long term, I'm talking 2 years minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think right now we're seeing like a big EV boom, like everybody's talking about it. It's going to cool off at some point, mm-hmm. but it like if you're talking long, it's not going to cool off. Like EV is the future. Like there's no turning back from this. Like we're on that path.
Yeah.
GM had some news today. GM plans to put out like 1 million vehicles by the middle of the decade.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
That was news today. So that's, you know, that's just bullish the sector at that point, you know?
Yeah. Mission Control in the chat said COVID woke up the world to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It absolutely did. Yeah. But I also think that, it showed like what America is so scared to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good
have even like small companies like came up on top, you know? Like we learned so much from this. It's been, you know, it's been a curse, but it's also been a blessing in disguise, because it's like, you know, we moved into, you know, if we weren't in the digital age before, you know, we're so more into it now than ever before. So, like Zoom, for example, is just like everyone uses it, you know? It's like I work for the government, like we never used Zoom before. And then out of nowhere, you know, after COVID, we've been using Zoom for everything, to host our board meetings and everything. It's just insane, you
It's
know.
the
It's just,
same thing that's happened throughout history since we were cavemen. You adapt or you die.
No,
You adapt
definitely,
or
dude.
you die. Like, and if a shitty situation comes up on your plate, you either figure it out or you don't. Like, think about the small businesses that sell products. So there's businesses that sell small products, and they can either adapt or they die. So if you're a convenience store, you either figure out how to adapt and you connect with DoorDash or Grubhub, and though the businesses that did that, they probably thrived getting those deliveries out during lockdown. And the ones that didn't, they had to shut down. They had to close down business because of it. You need to learn how to adapt. And that applies to everything in life, no matter what you do.
No, for sure.
I
That's
think
good.
what's going to separate some of these EV players, you know, just going back to
Yeah,
EV
for
for a
sure.
second, is going to be their ability to, you know, develop and produce batteries. You know, at the lowest cost, you know, I think that's the range on batteries, at least for me, that's how I'm shopping for a car. Like, I want something that can go far. I don't want it to think about anything under 300 miles, you know. So it's going to be a race for who could go the furthest on a charge, you know. And as the battery tech evolves, I mean, lithium ion is going to be a thing of the past pretty soon. I know a battery technology that is still in the engineering phase to some degree is flow cell. I don't know if you guys ever heard of flow cell batteries, but they're a higher battery density, and you know they charge a lot faster, and you get a lot more performance out of them for the weight, which goes into the power to weight ratio, especially in a vehicle. But the only problem I think that on the engineering side that they have right now with that is it's a very unstable material. So they're more prone to fire. I think that's what's keeping them out of the market, at least for the time being. I think you know, a lot of battery storage banks and, like, you know, businesses and corporations are starting to use them. But I think ever since the fires in California, they're not as quick to market now, you know. But it's lithium ion will be a thing of the past. I think you're gonna have to look for who's the company that can quickly adapt to the next stage of battery technology, and that's gonna who's have a that's that is gonna be who has a leg up on the entire industry, because right now it's getting very saturated.
It reminds me of when smartphones first came out. It's like, or do you guys remember? I don't know how old you guys are, but like, do you guys remember when smartphones first came out? And like every year is like new innovation, like we're going to see that in the electric vehicle industry, because it's going to keep getting better and better and better until it's mainstream. It's like we're like the first iPhone right now.
We're at the
This is
iPod
early
stage.
stage, yeah. No,
Yeah, so
definitely.
early. We're like in a huge, we went through the, like, to me, the smartphone era. Like, there was a giant curve up to the smartphone era, and now we're on the way down, and we need the next thing. It's like we're on to the next wave of technology: electric vehicles, augmented and virtual reality. Like, that's the next wave to society, to me.
The first cell phone, I had a 35-foot phone cord that went through my house while I was in
All right, you're way
the
older than me, bro. I didn't have any of that. I had a flip phone. I remember the flip phone days. I remember when I got my first phone that had a slide-up keyboard, and I was like, "Oh, I can text my girl so fast
You guys
now."
remember the Sidekick? Remember that flip?
Yeah, Sidekick
Everyone
was
had that. Oh my God.
crazy. Did you guys do the Nextel for a while? I did Nextel.
BlackBerry.
Nobody with the Nextel?
I
Two-way?
never had a Nextel.
Nah, dude, I never
Oh
had
my God,
one
the
either.
Nextel. If you didn't have a Nextel, dude, you are a loser.
Nokia, I see someone saying in the chat, oh, Nokia BlackBerry phone.
Nokia's, yo, I made money on Nokia this week.
Did you?
I made a stock, yeah.
Nice.
I have Eric, ticker ERIC, just because, like, why not, you know? I've always held Eric stock my whole life, naturally.
Yeah, I actually hold I actually held some of my own name stock too. You guys mentioned a few times CRIS. It's like a
What is
biotech
that?
company. It's a biotech company.
Yeah.
Just
have
just
they
because it
have
had
they
my name.
offered how many times have they offered on here?
Probably like a billion. No.
They've reversed 38 times in my life.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so yeah, sure. I think we're right on the verge of like a new technology era,
mm-hmm.
when we're gonna see it, things change really fast, just like how we saw it change with social media and smartphones. Like we're on the next stage now because that smartphone era, we're comfortable with that. Like when I watch these Apple conferences, I don't get inspired by them like I used to because it's the same shit.
Yep.
All they say is we got faster processors, like a clearer screen, whatever. Like we need the next thing now.
Yeah.
And to me, that's augmented reality. But I think this connects with the EV industry as we're, how we're going to see these electric vehicles get better and better over the next 5 to 10 years until it's something where it gets stagnant again and it just becomes mainstream.
No, definitely. For sure. And COVID's,
hey,
put, COVID's pushed us that way,
can I just take an opportunity
too?
To say, like, thank you to everybody that's in the chat and everybody that's just completely blowing up, like, my social media right now. Like, really really appreciate, like, all the support along the way. And, you know, I just generally want to just help people. I always say, like, I want to help people make money and I want to help you smile. Like, I try to joke around. I try to make people laugh and I try to make people money.
Yeah.
Like, I only do Twitter just because it's fun. It's kind of like a hobby. You know, I'm
yeah,
not,
yeah.
I have no intention for anything other than that.
For sure. Definitely.
So do you guys want to get some questions in on the chat?
Yeah,
and
let's,
then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, let's get some questions
out, in. Let me put out a tweet real quick and I'll say a Q&A and then...
Let me scroll through the chat and see if we get any questions here. Let's see. Take a look at some.
Stock related.
Yeah, stock related. Yeah.
If you need to know how to smoke any meats, you can.
You can. Yeah.
Let's see. Let's go through this.
BDE Global. Shout out to them. They said, "Holy Suffolk County, New York accent." So thank you for that.
Batteries. I see someone say someone said KCAC.
Oh yeah, that, I like that one. Too. I like KC.
Yeah.
Mission Control says I gotta scroll up. Chat's moving so quick. He said Eric is a legit 5G play. Yeah, it's true. That's definitely true. I am a 5G
Manel,
player.
Manel K. Manel
if
K.
I was single,
said, what
that's what I would say to go.
What are your core investment beliefs? I think to me. Like my core investment beliefs, I need to like trust my gut. Like when I take everything else away, it's trusting my gut and knowing where the world is going.
Yep.
And taking others' opinions, I take that out and it all comes down to my gut because like at the end of the day, really, you only have your own back and you only have your own thoughts and your own visions of the world. And you just need to like trust yourself because you're way smarter than you think you are.
Yeah.
Like, what do you guys think? Like your core investment beliefs?
Chris, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go. I mean, mine is just, you know, like I look at things like, you know, if, like we were talking earlier, like if I see something that, you know, if something doesn't look good, I trade the moment. Like if I feel like this stock has potential, you know, then I'll invest, you know, I'll invest my time and my money into it. But the moment I see that, you know, like there's something about it or something, you know, ticks me off the wrong way, it's just like, you know, it's like, all right, it's time to look for something else. You know, I like trading the moment. I invest in high like quality stocks, like stocks that have long-term potential is what I look for. And like Lizard, you were just talking about EV and stuff. Like there's so many plays out here that you know we're at the beginning. We're just at the starting. You know, this is just the beginning of EV, and it's just like with anything, you know? So yeah, definitely. Just like I look for value. I look for things that, you know, they're set up correctly. Things that have a strong pipeline. So that's what I look for. I to try, you know, if it's something that I'm not too comfortable with, like I'll just trade it throughout the day and stuff, or I'll trade it throughout like the week, or and I'll revisit it. You know, I don't get too held on a stock for too long if I don't find, you know, there's any value in it. So that's my way of seeing it. I don't know, Eric, what do you think? Go ahead.
Yeah, just to piggyback off of you, I agree with a lot of those points you made. They're awesome. You know, what I look for typically is a story, or a CEO or a visionary, and I like to invest in them even before the company itself. Yeah. That's usually what I like looking for. And then obviously, you know, something that just solves a problem, and something that is ahead of the time we're in to solve a future problem. I like looking for stories like that to buy into. You know, I think, you know, space, anything with space related right now, anything that's in renewables and, you know, sustainable energy. I mean, these are solving future problems, and that's something I want to invest in. I mean, we're moving to a more of a digital economy, so naturally anything e-commerce is big. I mean, one that I like is a new one that I put in my IRA is a big C, BIGC. Yeah. If anybody's interested, check out that ticker. I'm not going to go through all the DD now, but that one's kind of cool. And then, you know, I have a few different accounts, and I have different strategies in different accounts, you know. So I have my trading account, which I'm, you know, in out and in cash, you know. Then I have my IRA, which is I hold cores of good stories, long-term potential. I trade the range, and I hold the core. And then I have my son. My son's 2.5 years old.
Yeah.
So he's on a 20-year strategy. So, you know, I'll just like, I'll buy 100 shares of Virgin and just put that in there.
Yeah.
I'll buy, you know, Amwell Health. I'll buy a couple hundred shares of that, put that in there. And that kind of stuff is a time capsule. So that's really fun for me. So
yeah.
I'll roll profits. And that's another thing too. You have to roll your profits from your trading into long-term wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never going to get rich from trading. You're going to get rich from taking some of those profits and compounding that in an IRA, you know? So that's something I like doing, you know. And then I think it's also important too that beyond all that, everybody should have a do not trade list. I think that helps you stick to your rules as well.
For sure. I definitely have one of those.
There's going to be those ex-girlfriends where you're like, I'm never dating her again. Do not call me. I don't want to see her in public. Nothing.
Yep.
That's a do not trade list.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
For me, I'll give you a couple examples. XBIO, do not trade. VYST, do not trade. NTEC, do not trade. And the list goes on further than I'd like to admit, but everybody should start thinking about making themselves a do not trade list, because when you go back to those plays, you're revenge trading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. Kinda,
yeah.
That's my investing strategy. I'm more of a trader than an investor, but you know, right now I'm holding stocks like you know, Amwell Health, Walmart, you know, e-commerce plays.
Yep.
I'm holding some SRAC. You know, you gotta get quality in there.
Yeah.
I have Shopify in the 300s. You know, Shopify was a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw my company in the 401k funds. They were buying a ton of it, and I was like, oh, okay. So I was just kind of following their lead with that. That paid off well.
Yeah. But, well, there's another question here from JB. When you are day trading, what are some of the biggest indicators that the chart is breaking down?
Great question.
That's a good question too. I think like my personally is just like the volume. Like the volume starts dying off. I kind of just played volume. Like I'm more of a momentum trader. Like if I see things dying off and I see that it's starting to break, you know, below its support lines, and just start like making lower lows, that's when I know I just to get out. Like if something doesn't have like enough volume, or it's not set up correctly for me, it's just like, I know I can get back in when this thing is on the way up, you know. I don't want to put too much time into this. If the trade goes south, just like with you, Eric, like when you entered EGY, like you made your, you know, you did damage control, you know, you made that decision where you're like, if this trade doesn't, if, you know, if it goes wrong, I'd rather it go wrong now than go wrong in, you know, in a couple hours or a couple, you know, like 5 minutes from now, where you're like, you're down even more, you know? So yeah. it's a mental game. I mean, that's what it is. And I just think, like, when you're holding a bag, like, that's just the worst feeling that you can ever feel. That personally for me, it's just like, I never want to hold a bag ever. So I set my own to 10%. If I like a trade, it's 10%. That's where my stop is, like my mental stop is. But I kind of just trade, like I said, I just trade a moment, you know. If I see something that's set up correctly and I see it's got a volume and it looks like it's got the potential to go higher, then I'm in and I'm out. That's it. It's just in, out cash. So that's basically
I post in the phase one. We have a Telegram, you know, chat that, you know, we have, pretty focused group in there. And what I've been doing lately is every morning at 10:30, I just post, it's 10:30. Like, do you know where your stocks are?
Yeah. You know?
It's just to make everybody mindful. Like, listen, we've been going an hour, because sometimes it's easy to forget what time it is. And, you know, by 10:30, 11, it's kind of it, you know, it's kind of it until power hour at that point. Something has to look really good in between 11 and 3.
Yeah.
So it's a gut check that I put in that chat every morning, 10:30.
Yeah.
And for me, JB's question is, when you're day trading, what are some of the biggest indicators when the chart is breaking down? So this is, if I'm not in, like, for a long swing play, like if this is strictly speaking on a day trade, mm-hmm. this is what I always talk about. You have to have a plan. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just buy and, like, expect to get profits. You need to have a plan, and you need to, so when you buy in, you have a plan to take profits, and you also have a plan to take the L. So I'm using MAs, EMAs, and the VWAP. Like, that's been my bread and butter for the past couple months.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when you buy, you have a plan where you should get out if it doesn't go your way. And if it breaks out, oh, well, so be it.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one. Like, let it go.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many chart setups that could tell you, you know, where a chart's breaking down. I mean, the first thing that I think about when I would come, the first setup that comes to mind when I think of a chart not ready to go is like a triple top. Mm-hmm. You see a triple top, it's over. You know, very, very rarely you're going to break out on that fourth go. Mm-hmm. That to me tells you it's over.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, you could sit here all day and talk about that. I mean, right now I'm using the 9 EMA, I'm using the 20 MA and the VWAP. That's been really good to me lately, you know, momentum trading.
Yeah, for sure.
I know one of our members uses the parabolic SAR, which I'm not super familiar with, but he's found a rhythm with it, and it's been good to him.
Yeah. Let's go.
And what you're saying there is, like, one of your boys found a rhythm, and
that's it.
There is no secret sauce that's going to make you make money in the stock market. You need to find what works for you, and you need to continuously apply that and learn from where you're winning and from where you're losing. That's the most important thing. Learn how you win in the stock market.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. I saw, who was it the other day? Yates Investing. I just started following him. He's pretty good. I like some of his mentality. I feel like I'm on the same page with him.
Yeah, Yates is the man.
Yeah. So, you know, he said when I first started, he posted a gain of like $167,000 in like a day. And then, but he said, you know, I started off just trying to make $50 a day. Now I'm trying to make 3,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Set
a goal. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not about the money. Like, it's about percentages. Like, so when you see something like that, don't get worked up that you're not making $100K if your portfolio is $1,000, if your portfolio is $100. Like, look at the percentages and set a goal and keep building. And, like, set a goal. Even if it's 1%, 5% a day, that is very possible.
Yeah.
And set a goal and work towards it, because, like, you need to have a plan. Like, I keep saying, you need to have a plan.
Have a plan.
Literally what you have to do. It's the simplest thing ever. Like, make a plan, like, and stick to it.
I'm glad you're driving it home, because it's such a good point. I mean, do I have it right? Like, you're full time. Like, this is your gig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%.
So Was that the underlying secret sauce that took you to this point in your life?
Yeah, to have a plan and like, and hold yourself accountable. And if you see yourself fucking up, then fix it and learn from your mistakes. And like, don't point fingers at other people and don't say, don't blame whatever. Don't blame others and outside sources for your losses. Like, hold yourself accountable and fix it. It's the simplest thing. Like, you just have a plan and figure out how you're going to be better every single day.
What was what was your moment of like zen when you're like, this is it, I got this, like I could do this? At what was like the trigger for you that, like, you know, at what point in your life were you, did you just know, like, what was it for you when you just knew, you're like, I got this, like I could do this now?
I don't think there was like a light switch that came on. I think it was over time. As I learned, because as any new trader does, there's always that beginner's luck, and you start making a bunch of money quick, and you're like, damn, like, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to do this.
I got this.
Yeah, like, oh, this shit's so easy. Like, I'm a fucking baller right now. And then you get hit with that big loss.
Yeah.
But then over time, like, I think you just start getting – to me, I just got into my groove, and, like, I just kept learning and learning. Like, even now, in life, like, every single day you should be learning something new. You're never perfect.
Yeah,
you need to continuously learn. Like, I still don't think I'm the best I can be. I think tomorrow I'm gonna grow better, and the next day I'm gonna grow better, and in 5 years I'll be way better. But the main thing that drove it home to me was I believe in myself.
That's
a good question,
and I'm not gonna give up.
I'm gonna pull a question from the chat, because I think it says, when day trading, what percentage of your portfolio do you guys typically invest your day trades? I mean, I don't look at it as a percentage. I typically just have, you know, an amount that I trade, you know, dollar wise. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you what percentage of my entire account it is. I just know I have a range that I take certain trades. It goes back to what Lizard was saying before, like, if it's low risk, low reward, or high risk, high reward, that's how I'm gonna determine my size before entering a trade. I really don't even consider what percentage of my portfolio it is. That's just not something I think about.
It's more about the
risk going into the trade than anything else.
And again, it comes back to having a plan. But to me, when I go into a swing play that I really like to set up, I don't like to go on more than 20-30%, like, that's my max. But day trades, it's different. If I really like the setup, I'll go in heavy with a very tight stop loss. But again, you need to have a plan. You need to know your loss and be ready to take that.
Yeah.
And don't fucking cry when it doesn't work out. Move on to the next thing. Yep. Keep moving forward.
Yep. Just learn from your mistakes and
make
sure you don't do them again. I mean, that's
stick to the mission.
Yeah.
Mission control says stick to the mission. I like that.
That's it. Mission control.
Yeah, make sure you use hotkeys. Hotkeys are really important in day trading.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, what do you know? You're just a lizard on the internet.
I'm just a lizard on the internet.
Oh my god. All right.
Manal says it's based on your risk tolerance.
Looks like they hate us. Hold on. Got DC'd again. Give us a sec. See if everybody can come back in here. Man, they really don't want us to chat live here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you. I'm just waiting for Lizard now. See if Lizard gets back on here. Man, YouTube's like, nope.
Yeah, maybe we'll condense these in the future, but
yeah,
it's fun. Like,
I'm fun. I think it's great. Oh, there's Lizard. Hey,
I'm back.
I was just telling Eric that YouTube just kicking us out because we're giving too much good information out here.
We're being censored for misinformation right
but,
now.
But what I was saying before, I got rudely interrupted by Zoom. I'm buying Zoom puts tomorrow. I'll do that. When I said, you can, no, what did she say? It's based on your risk tolerance, share amount specific to each person.
Yeah.
People, I always see people asking how many shares. It's mm-hmm. all about percents in the stock market. Don't get held up on shares. Don't get held up on dollar amount.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm mm-hmm. so percentage glad you said that.
Is king in this game. Like, and like, even if you have $20 in a stock and you make 20%, that's awesome. Like, don't get held up on the dollar amount.
People realize you could lose $5,000 on a $10,000 position, or you could lose $5,000 on a $50,000 position. It's irrelevant.
Yeah.
I put out a tweet a couple weeks ago. I said, I do not care about how many shares you have. I don't. All that tells me is you're showing off, and okay, you have a lot of shares. So did you sell? No. Okay, so you don't have any booked profits yet. So you can easily take a loss on all those shares in the morning, which you're not going to post about.
To me, it's all about percentage.
Keep your share counts to yourself. Just show me percentages that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. And to me, like, I'm a person who's loud about my wins, and like, I'm always down to talk about the losses too. But again, it all comes down to your plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, we appreciate that, wins and losses, to be transparent, because a lot of people on at least FinTwit are not transparent. There's a lot of fakes out there, to say the least. And, you know, the reason why we reached out to you to do this stream was, you know, we felt that you were separated from, you know, a lot of that that nonsense out there. And
exactly.
You know, there's very few humble people. There's very few humble people on FinTwit right now. You know, another group we really like is TRT, hashtag TRT, The Rock Trading.
Yeah, shout out The Rock.
Shout out to The Rock Trading.
My boy.
Yep.
You know, they're a great group of traders. Anybody listening here should check them out as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very small playing field of who's actually not full of crap out there.
Yeah, exactly. So just filtering out, you know, the real ones from the fake, so...
And one thing that I just want to touch on is I feel like we all saw like me going berserk on Twitter the other day, getting called out.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that I personally need to work on, because I know who I am, and I know my goals and my vision, and people are always going to hate on you, like, if they see you winning. And this goes out to everybody, like, fuck what they say.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, stick to your plan.
Yeah, don't even entertain that stuff. Like, I follow you and stuff. But let me tell you something, dude. I tuned all that out. Like, that kind of crap, that doesn't make anyone money.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's just a waste of time.
No, for sure.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, we try to keep politics out of our group.
So I try to keep the politics out, too. Yeah,
lately it's been hard. You know, like, when it was election week, you know, our group ran into a couple speed bumps that we had to iron out. You know, we'll be honest. You know, it was hard for people not to talk about politics 2 weeks ago. So, you know, we got past that, and I think ultimately it made us stronger as a group, and we realized that, you know, if we all sat together in the same room in person, we realized we have a lot more in common than we don't, you know, and not to
everybody,
Let's not let politics get in the way of us making money together. Because
exactly.
That's why we're all here. That's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I mean, like, we're all, you know, on the same team. We're all playing the same game. Our goal is to, you know, to make money, you know, so and make a living and make this, you know, what we want to do. If this is your 9-to-5, you know, if you want to stop that 9-to-5 life and you want to do this is the goal, you know? So there's no point in, like, you know, wasting time and then, like, you know, bringing other people down and stuff. Like, you guys just, let's just band together and make it happen. Like, there's enough food on the table for all of us to eat.
Yeah.
So let's just,
and there's also enough hate in the world where we don't need to,
that's
like,
exactly.
Yeah. Like, we don't need to play off
we're
of that
all,
for
we're
sure.
We're retail traders, man. Like, retail traders need to stick together, man. We're all on the same team here. Like, if you want to, you know, get beef with somebody, you know, how about institutions and politicians and you know, like, the suits, Portnoy says, you know, like, that's the enemy. All this infighting is stupid, but let's not even waste time on this stream.
One thing I always tweet out is that personal opinions don't matter in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You need to look at the facts. You need to see what's going on. And even if they aren't facts, you need to see, like, what the media is saying and what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Your personal opinions aren't going to help you out make money in the stock market.
Yeah. Yeah, don't don't hope. Like a lot of words that I like to avoid when trading is hope. Don't ever say I hope something does something.
And, yeah.
You know, don't ever go with your gut feeling. Well, that's my opinion. Maybe some people feel otherwise, but yeah. I try not to go with a gut feeling or hope or anything that's like bubbles.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything that's bubbles and farts, because it's like, dude, read the chart. What is the chart telling you? That's what you need to do. Forget about your like any kind of emotion, which is hope. Like, oh, yeah. I think it's going to do this. It's like,
and if it goes against what you had in your plan, then it's time to get out and move on to the next thing.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Self-help and things like that is a good part of trading. I mean, people should just be reading like self-improvement books. Mm-hmm. You know, this is,
yeah.
The mental game in this game is huge. It's bigger than, I think that was something when I first started trading, I didn't realize like how big the psychology was. And I'm almost glad that we dedicated a pretty good portion of the stream to that, because it's such a big part of trading that I think a lot of new traders don't.
It's a majority of this game, man. Like, it is such a huge part. I'd say it's over 50% of trading stocks is your it's how you can control your emotions.
Yep.
It is so important to be able to think clearly and just take your emotion out of it, because and in life you need to be able to control your emotions. Like, it's so important.
Yeah.
So could we ask you something as we kind of like wrap this up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you like to do for fun outside of trading? So you make all these profits, you got all this money now, right? So what do you do with these gains? What makes you happy on the weekends? Like, what's the point of doing all this?
Man, like, so to me, what makes me happy in life is like my mission in life is to try to help other people succeed. And like, what really fulfills me is seeing that I help other people. Mm-hmm. Like, that is my goal in life, is lifting other people up and making them believe in themselves. Awesome. Because I went to college for marketing. And I felt like I got screwed by the system because I went to school and like, I just felt like it didn't give me the satisfaction. It didn't give me the path where I could go down and be successful. It just put me in another desk in another office doing the same thing that everybody else does. And I feel like a lot of people that are out here trading are trying to do something bigger in life. Mm-hmm. They have bigger goals than that, than to just go with the herd.
Yeah.
And if I can inspire one person to break out of that system, like, that fuels me in my life. And, so I just want to lift other people up and let them know that like, this shit is possible and you can do anything you put your mind to, because we live in the best time. Like, it may seem shitty right now, like we can't go out and have a good time, but we live in the era where anything is possible if you put your mind to it and you put in the effort and you grind.
Yeah.
And you just really need to, like, if you know that you're different and you know that like you're meant for more in life, do it. Like, believe in yourself. And but outside of that, like, I want to inspire people, but when I'm not trading, like, music, that's my biggest like passion. I'm just listening to music and playing music.
I saw you were on a hiking, like a hiking kick.
Hiking's
recently.
Good. Hiking's good. And
lizard in the woods.
I was just running that day. Like,
yeah,
you have to make sure you get your physical activity in.
Definitely.
Because if you're just sitting at a desk all day, you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah. You just got to reset. Yeah, for sure. You just sometimes you just need that reset, you know, just come back on it, you know, and start grinding again. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're in a dark point in my life, like, I've been through dark times when things just don't seem like they're going your way and everything fucking sucks and it's like, man, when are things gonna start going my way? And you need to, like, life's like a roller coaster to me. Like, there's always gonna be ups and downs. And there's a Kanye West quote that I always go back to. He says, the most beautiful thoughts are always beside the darkest. Mm-hmm. And in my darkest times, that's when I found I've grown the most. And like, you need to push through those hard times, because at the end of that dark tunnel, like, there's always a light at the other side.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, just do what you love doing. Do what you love doing.
Yeah.
Because this life's short and you only got one shot.
Yep.
That like sounds corny, all, but like,
it's, No, for sure. Yeah. It's, you got to just let them. That's it's exactly it. It really is. That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, for sure. All right. Well, before Zoom, before I have to shorten Zoom tomorrow, I'll probably cut it off here.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody for watching. I appreciate you guys. This is, I feel like this is a really good. Yeah, we should do it again.
Yeah,
sometime.
No, definitely, we're gonna do this again. Like, thanks, Lizard. I mean, really appreciate you coming on. And yeah, really hope we do this again in the future. And for those still tuned in, if you aren't, just make sure you follow. If you aren't following Lizard King on Twitter, make sure you join his Discord as well. All the links are going to be below in the description. And don't forget to give us a follow as well, Phase 1 Trading, Mass Trade, which is Eric, and Cross the Grinder on Twitter. Also want to give a special thanks to you guys for viewing, and those who are tuning in after replay. So thank you so much for your support on social media. And just hit us up with any comments or any suggestions or any like future topics or sectors that you want us to cover, or even have like a special guest or something later on in the stream. So just literally hit us up. My inboxes are always open. I know you guys, I've been getting a lot of inboxes about like, you know, hey, does this pick look good? Or hey, does this chart look set up and stuff? And I'll try to, guys, I'll help y'all when I can. And I'm sure all of us here will do, you know, just about the same. So, so thank you guys. Thank you, Lizard. Thanks, Eric. Like,
yeah. Thank you guys.
This is awesome. We should do this again.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Everybody, you guys are awesome in it. And my DMs are open too. Like, if you guys have any questions for me, shoot me a DM. I'll try my best to get back to them. Like, believe in yourself. That's all I have to say.
There you go. Preach, brother.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right. Have a strong morning, guys. Let's finish the week strong.
Yeah,
huh?
Let's finish the week strong for sure.
Yep. All right, guys. Take care. Thanks,
all
right. Lizard.
All love. See you guys.
See ya. Perfect. All right. Just ended it.